If you have your Bibles, please turn to Hosea chapter 5 as we continue on. Covenant, judgment, and love. Decay and conflict is the first 14 verses of chapter 5. We've all probably seen this bumper sticker. You know me, I sometimes poke fun at bumper stickers, but sometimes bumper stickers, when you understand the complexity and the truth behind them, the simplicity of bumper stickers, there's a lot of truth there. And so if you know God, you know Him, have knowledge of God, you know ultimate peace and shalom. But if there's no God, you're going to have conflict and decay. That is true. And so it goes a little deeper than just what you see on the back of your car sometimes, but that is true. And that's what Hosea is talking about here a little bit. Because just remember that we are in a time when Israel is very culturally proud of itself, but there's a lot of rot going on in culture, a lot of political instability, a lot of false worship, which speaks well to our culture maybe today. And Hosea is written to talk about God's judgment on your faithlessness, but yet God still loves His people. And that's hard to reconcile sometimes for us. But I'm glad that despite my failings, God still loves me, and ultimately, of course, for us, in Christ. And so we've been going through, we're in a section where Israel is portrayed negatively, God's covenant is portrayed positively. And just if you were here last time, we were talking about Hosea a couple weeks ago, the idea of knowledge. When we reject the knowledge of God, it has consequences in our lives, and that continues now in chapter 5. And so the idea that cultural, United States, we might say, and spiritual, the church, cultural and spiritual decay bring conflict and judgment. I mean, that to me goes in the category of, well, duh. If you don't believe what God says, you suffer the consequences, but sometimes the culture, but sometimes we in the church, oh, why God? Well, look what the Bible says. And so that is what Hosea is confronting, this man-centered, strong period in Israel's history. And so the scripture, and you're about to take a look, and we're just looking at 14 verses, the decay and conflict, the first 7 verses, leadership problems. Hosea chapter 5, verses 1 to 7. 3 commands. Hear this, O priests. Take heed, O house of Israel, the people, the elites. Give ear, O house of the king, the political leadership. For yours is the judgment because you have been a snare, a trap to Mizpah, and a net spread on Tabor. And revolters are deeply involved in slaughter. Some tie that to the pit of Shittim. But place names, false worship, the trap of false worship. Though I rebuke them all, I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hidden from me. For now, O Ephraim, you commit harlotry. Israel is defiled. They do not direct their deeds toward turning to their God. For the spirit of harlotry is in their midst, and they do not know the Lord. The pride of Israel testifies to his face. Therefore, Israel and Ephraim stumble in their iniquity. Judah also stumbles with them, with their flocks and herds. They shall go to seek the Lord, but they will not find him. He has withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously with the Lord, for they have begotten pagan children, illegitimate, strange children. Now a new moon shall devour them and their heritage. And so the command to all levels of leadership in society, with the result that they are going to be rebuked or punished or chastised or disciplined, and judgment, and literally the judgment belongs to you, and that's sort of ambiguous. Is God bringing judgment, or is it because this bad leadership is bringing judgment or causing judgment on them? Well, ambiguous, could be both. And why? Because God knows. The people do not know the Lord, but God knows the human hearts, folks. And the witness of the pride gives testifying against them. And Ephraim is another name for the largest tribe of Israel. But even Judah, also the southern tribes, are involved so that they stumble. And They seek and they sacrifice because their worship has become corrupt. And so they're worshiping harder, but it's to no avail, says God, because you are not worshiping me. And the result is these illegitimate children. Remember, we talked about the Baals, the Baals, the false gods of culture. You are so enmeshed in your false worship that you don't know me. And it's bringing consequences. The new moon, the lunar calendar, which was important in how the Jews reckoned day, but this false external worship. You know, you're dancing around your poles in the during the full moon in your false worship, but it's bringing judgment and illegitimacy. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 13, God says, "Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting." God knows when we are just going through the motions and trying to impress people externally. And so bad leadership, leadership problems. Then in verses 8 through 11, and that's going to cause, there's a result, coming conflict. Verses 8 through 11, "Blow the ram's horn in Gibeah, the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud at Bet Aven, the house of evil," which a slur name for Bethel, the house of God. "Look behind you, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel, I make known what is sure." It's certain this is coming. "The princes of Judah are like those who remove a landmark. I will pour out my wrath on them like water. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked by human precept." And so the idea of alarm, alarm, warning, war, judgment is coming, rebuke, punishment, and certain desolation. And are these people innocent? And sometimes in our culture, well, we are innocent. We don't deserve. Yeah, but there's problems and symptoms because removing the landmark, the boundary stones, which were important for, you know, knowing where property lines, some of the idea of deceitful, you know, ooh, I want my field to be a little bigger, so nobody's watching. I'm going to move the property line over here so that my field is bigger. So, if you will, deceitful theft and also forgetting the past traditions. Israel, you've left the worship of the one true God. And you've walked by human precept. Some of our translations, filth, idols, vanity. And the word has the meaning of it's nonsense, like babbling, which that judgment is coming by the Assyrians who speak a foreign language. Babbling is bringing judgment. In fact, the term where you've heard barbarians, that word barbarian, just from the Greek's perspective, was that's just those uncouth, undirty people that don't sanitize their hands during coronavirus periods. And so their speech sounds like bar, 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 bar. So they're barbarians. And so the idea of judgment coming by people of human precepts, Isaiah 28:13. "But the word of the Lord was to them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they may go and fall backward and be broken and snared and caught." And so Precept Ministries, K. Arthur, that, you know, there's a positive precept, but here it's talking about human precepts that are false worship that bring about snares and being trapped and conflict and judgment by culture, historically, the Assyrian Empire. We'll get to that in our Empire series as well. And then verses 12 to 14, the terrifying judgment. Verse 12, "Therefore," God says, "I will be to Ephraim." Remember, that's, if you will, talking about Israel, but the large tribe, but just this whole collective. "I will be to Ephraim like a moth, and to the house of Judah like rottenness, decay." God is bringing the rottenness to what they're doing. "When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then Ephraim went to God? No, to Assyria and sent to King Yareb. Yet he cannot cure you nor heal you of your wound. For I will be like a lion to Ephraim and like a young lion to the house of Judah. I, even I, will tear them and go away. I will take them away and no one shall rescue." Those are terrifying words, the judgment that God is going to cause this. And so he is the agent of rottenness. And so is there remorse? What do the people do? Do they repent in sackcloth and ashes and turn to the Lord? No, they go to Assyria. And that's what I read in 2 Kings, the historical context. Could it be King Menachem of Israel, who basically confiscated taxes to bribe off to try to have a human solution to their problem? Or others think it could be Judah under King Ahaz when he turned to Tiglath-Pileser, where turning to foreign kings to protect them from enemies instead of turning to the Lord. And obviously that's not a good thing. My translation, the King Yareb, some of your translations, the great king. In fact, the root of that word is to contend, a conqueror, probably a very descriptive name of the king of Assyria that is going to come and conquer. But then God reminds, and even though Assyria, the big power on in the world scene during that time, Assyria can't save you from judgment from God. God is in charge of history and empires. So, bad leadership, religious, cultural, political, leading people so they don't know God, which can breed in pride, which then results in conflict and war, which sometimes we turn to human solutions, which brings righteous judgment. Because ultimately, folks, God is in charge. So what? What is the message for us? Well, at the cultural level, conflict in culture. You know, now we're just talking about in America, we might say. The leaders, our elites, the decisions they make, are they always wise? Do we have the Baals, the Baals? Remember the false gods and how it infiltrates cults? The Baals of military and political power. Do we sometimes rely on that? Alliances between nations. Tell me that's not going on. For example, oil prices right now. Hey, it's cheap to fill up your car. And a lot of that is because Saudi Arabia and Russia are in an oil war. So political alliances that have ramifications in our world. And in fact, those of you that like history, and I know you all do, and you all things like the start of World War I, horrific war. But it started through these political alliances that the terrorist that killed the Archduke Franz Ferdinand in Serbia of the Austrian-Hungarian. So Serbia, troublesome thorn. Austria-Hungary made war on them. But then Russia came to the backing of Serbia. And so then France and England came to the backing of Germany came to the backing of Austria-Hungary. And so all these alliances, and so it was one of those wars that could have been avoided, but because there were so many human solutions turned into that great war that killed millions. And oh, by the way, that was when the Spanish flu was that killed tens of millions. And where that came from. So human solutions because of bad leadership. Yeah, pagan culture. And also we know, yeah, the sin and the morality of the pride of culture, our pride in our knowledge and science and how we make gods out of that and education and the definition of sin. Have you ever stopped to think what culture defines as sin? It's definitely not what the Bible says. And there are consequences, as Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And then next chapter over, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Yeah, culture is wicked and evil, and those people out there, they need to clean it up. And so what's the solution? Well, we see a lot of human-based trust. We think of wars, and are those wars just? And then sometimes in cultures, we make religious justification. You know, we can go kill a commie for Christ, or Islam making war on the infidels. And so we can wag our self-righteous church fingers, can't we, those lousy pagans? What about in the church? The spiritual problems that happen because we are fallen people. How much worse is it for people who should know the difference? What about religious church leaders, problematic pastors who come up with pragmatic solutions? What works versus the Word of God? In Hosea chapter 4, that knowledge of God. Are we going to do it God's way? Or are we going to do it man's way? And what does God's Word, that goes to a proper understanding of God's Word. And we pastors, leaders in the church, oftentimes are grinding their own axe. That was big time last chapter, in chapter 4. And so the idea of we in the church who should know better will be held more accountable. So we should know what decision should be made. Our morality and pride. In fact, I could tell a story. Beth, I won't tell the story. Poor Beth. But funny story, but I'm not going to embarrass her. But the idea of the Habakkuk, for example, a famous verse, "Behold the proud, his soul is not upright within him, but the just shall live by faith." Sometimes we in the church can be very proud of who we are. After all, we are the community fellowship of Christians, and we haven't canceled church, you know. Would you like to touch me? Wait, don't touch me. But folks, sin is serious, and pride and self-righteousness. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." And so obviously sin separates us from God. Now the solution, of course, the grace, but if we are relying on ourselves, the Bible is clear about those dangers. Read Ezekiel chapter 8 to 12 sometime, and the sad picture of the Shekinah glory, the glory of God leaving the temple, and it pauses at the threshold. It pauses on the Mount of Olives. It's almost like God, please invite me back into your lives. But yet that glory of God has to be separate from sin. And so sometimes in the church, our morality, what we do, is not a reflection of who we should be. And then finally, the solution. What is the solution? Is it man's solution? Try harder, pray harder, give more, sing louder. Or is it the righteousness of Christ alone? Folks, that's encouraging, but also a challenge. Do we trust in Christ alone? Or do you think, well, you know what? I've got 90% of the righteousness in myself. So Jesus, if you give me 10%, then I'll have 100%. Folks, absolutely not. It's 100% Christ's righteousness. And so we live our lives to reflect who we are, not to become that person of God. And so a challenging message. The decay of bad decisions in culture, but more importantly for us, when we don't do it God's way, it can affect our morality and how we act. Does it, you know, a lot of times nice church people doesn't mean we're out there doing some of those really wicked sins we think of, you know, in bad movies, but yet the morality of self-righteousness and how we look at ourselves and our arrogance and pride, and that can cloud our solutions. Because if I think I can handle it on myself, the solution for me is not to trust in a Savior. Folks, and that's the heart, pun intended, of what the gospel is. Because we have to know, K-N-O-W, God, to know his shalom, his peace, his wholeness. Because if it's not 100% know God, even to some percentage, we're not going to have peace. And it's going to be reflected in culture, you know, in what's going on in the world with things like coronavirus. Folks, that's the world we live in. Cultural and spiritual decay bring conflict and judgment. But to the glory of God, knowing God is the answer. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your covenant love. But yet that discipline, help us to recognize the discipline in our lives, that judgment for what it is, because we fail, of course, culture fails, just individually, corporately, Lord. But we thank you that you love us in Christ despite who we are. Help us to humbly recognize that and be agents of your glory in a world that desperately needs to know you and who you are. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen.